Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Mattis podcast. I'm Akinkleo.
I'm Mindong. 18 hours until Selection Sunday.
You heard the man. 18 hours left. We are officially in the good times of March. And Selection Sunday, obviously, one of the most important times of the year, especially for March Madness, as you already know. And yeah, the bracket will be coming out later today. Very excited for it. Still unsure who's going to get in and who's not going to be out, but there's a lot of teams right on the cusp. So it's going to be a very interesting Selection Sunday. Going to be a lot of negativity for fans whose team did not get in. Obviously, we can't do anything really about it. It's up to the selection committee, but we'll be seeing soon. So can't wait.
Yeah, and no bit thief this year. What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, for right now, there's no bit thieves. There was a lot of opportunities for it. Obviously, we'll talk about these teams later today. There is still one bit thief out there. I mean, I guess I consider them a bit thieves still, but we'll talk about them. But yeah, there's a lot of games happening. I believe there's 13 bids given out today. Still some finishing up as we speak. So yeah, I think we're going to talk about that and anything else that really comes to our mind today.
Yeah, that's probably all we would talk about. We're trying to make this episode short. We'll also go over tomorrow's games, our picks for those, and we might as well spin to see who reviews our bracket first. When do you want to review our brackets? I say, since the first four is Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll go someone tomorrow and someone Monday.
Yeah, my bracket came in the mail today, so I have that now here. I haven't got it yet, but I'll be having it, so I'll be updating that and gonna try and find a place to put it. Well, I have to see where I can put it because obviously my backdrop's a little different this year, so I don't know. I gotta think of some ideas, but we'll be seeing a bracket soon for me and my backdrop somewhere within the next episode. So yeah, without further ado, I think we should talk about the championship games first, and then we'll talk about some of the games for tomorrow. So let's start with the first game of the day, which was the I guess it was the – well, I guess I'm not in order, but we'll start with the first championship game I see, which is the Big 12. This one was a phenomenal one. I personally love this one, and the winner ended up being the Texas Longhorns. Hook them horns, baby. 76-56, they destroyed Kansas in the championship game. And that surprised a lot of people. I was very surprised myself with this result. I thought Kansas was going to win this whole thing. But Texas, without Timmy Allen, by the way, really impressed a lot of people. And, yeah, in the right time, they are peaking. What are your thoughts on this game? What are your thoughts on both these teams and how they can pan out in the tournament?
Yeah, as for Kansas, I think they're locked for the one seed regardless. So I think they should have a pretty smooth run into at least – the Elite Eight, in my opinion, they're that good of a team. And that's basically the expectation for the past 20 years for that program. As for Texas, I think they're going to have a very successful March, in my opinion. I know you have some more stuff to say. But like you said, they are peaking at the right time. And I got a question for you. Does Ronnie Terry deserve to be the permanent head coach of this program?
Absolutely. He's done a phenomenal job. And I wasn't expecting – this good of a job from him. And I know it obviously comes down to the players, but he's doing a phenomenal job. He definitely deserves to be the head coach. And we'll see how far they can get. If Texas goes very far past this Sweet 16, I'd say it's a very successful year for them. And I think he definitely deserves the head coaching spot there. So I think obviously they'll decide at the end of the year. But if I was Texas, yeah, I'd be fine with Terry as the head coach. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. And he's definitely deserving, if not Texas, he's definitely deserving of another vacancy. We'll be talking about coaching changes at the end of the season, but there's a lot. But, yeah, he definitely have a job somewhere as a head coach.
Yeah, and next final I see is the Big East Tournament. The winner, Marquette, by pretty convincingly led wire to wire, I think. 65-51 was the final score. What are your thoughts on both these teams heading into March?
Yeah, man, Marquette's the real deal. I really do think that this team has a very good chance of going far. I mean, the one thing I'm a little bit concerned about is Shaka Smart. I'm not gonna say anything about it, but last time a Shaka Smart team won a conference championship, they lost in the first round. This was a couple years ago now. I'm not gonna mention the game or the team, but Tyler Kolek looks to be that guy for Marquette. Marquette's a very well-rounded team as well. I do like this team a lot with the makeup of the team. I think Marquette has a chance to go to Elite Eight, if not further. For Xavier, I still think they can go pretty far. I think this team's also a team that could sneaky lose a game early. Obviously, they struggled against DePaul. I know Marquette struggled against St. John. So both these teams have seen struggles. But I do think Xavier has a larger chance of getting upset earlier than Marquette does. So I think this is a team to watch out for, especially what line they are and especially what team they might be. Because I think, what, Xavier's a five, projected five or four? You know.
I'll check right now for you.
We always forget. I mean, it's always changing too, but
yeah, it is always changing. I don't think it should change too much now. Depending on the Arizona UCLA game, we'll probably change. But Xavier's a projected four seed. They're the 13 overall seed, which seems about right for them.
Yeah, but depending on who they get matched up with, I think that they could be on upset alert. But I think both these teams have very good talent, very good experience as well. And I think both these teams have a chance to go very far.
Mm-hmm. And Marquette, I believe, has jumped into the two line, projected two line. They were the number one, number nine overall seed. Baylor was number eight. And I think with this win, they do absolutely leapfrog Baylor for that last two seed.
Yeah.
And Marquette, I'm not even going to lie. I haven't seen too much of them live.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to watch a lot of film. I feel like Marquette is the out of all Big East schools, I feel like I watch Marquette the least. I even watch,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I watch DePaul a lot. I watch, you know, Butler a lot, and I haven't seen any game of Marquette. I'm going to be completely honest. So I think they're a very good team, and I believe both these teams have an absolutely high floor. But like you mentioned, I think Xavier does have a chance of being upset very early.
Agreed. Next final up is the ACC final, and it ended up being who else but the Duke Blue Devils as the four seed end up going all the way, and they take down Virginia in the championship game, 59-49. Kyle Filipkowski continues to show why he's one of the best freshmen in the nation, 20-10 in the win. Duke, a little skeptical of Duke, obviously, throughout this year, but they really solidified themselves in this ACC tournament as a legit team. What are your thoughts on Duke, and what are your thoughts on Virginia?
Yeah, Duke, when they're 100% healthy, they're 17-1. And I definitely think they're peaking at the right time. They played themselves into the five seed. And obviously the five seed is a wicked dangerous seed to be. So it's going to be interesting to see who their matchup will be come tomorrow or later this evening, I should say. And as for Virginia, obviously always a high floor season in and season out. And I like this Virginia team a lot. Very veteran heavy, but you can see they missed Ben Vanderplas a lot today.
Yeah, and his time for return, is he out for the season? Did they say
he broke his wrist?
I don't know. I for some reason I thought he might come back. I don't know why, but that's gonna hurt them down the stretch of things. I think big loss for them. So I think Virginia's a very good team. I like their team a lot. Their defense is obviously their bread and butter. But I do think teams can exploit that. And so I honestly think Duke has a further chance of going further. Duke has a better chance of going farther than Virginia does, in my sense, right now. Not even just with this game. I think the injuries really go a long way in this thing. And I think that Vanderplas injury is going to hurt Virginia a lot. And when Duke's healthy, like you said, very good team. And Duke, like you said, peaking at the perfect time. I think this team obviously is underlooked this year as a normal Duke team. And that's going to help them as well. Similar to Gonzaga. A team that's really underlooked in terms of their recent success. And I think that's going to help them a lot moving forward in March.
Mm-hmm. And next up, we got the Mountain West Championship. This is a phenomenal game. San Diego State is the Mountain West champions. They're easily in the sixth line as of right now, and they probably will stay there. And Utah State, obviously, I'm a big Metrics guy there. Number 18 in the net. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, Utah State's very good, and it's crazy to think that this team might not even make the tournament. I think they played themselves in there. No, don't shake your head. There's still a legitimate chance that they don't make it. I think that they played themselves in, personally, but it's kind of crazy to think that this team still might not make it. I think they should. There's a lot of teams that I think should, and obviously not everyone can get in. But yeah, I think Utah State's legit. They got a very good team. And some of those guys didn't really show out tonight. I know that, what's his name? Ashworth, I mean, sure, he had 13 points, but his shooting percentages were not good today. Dorius, the center, had a good game. And Funk was also off today. So just a bad day for Utah State, and they still kept it very close with San Diego State. So I think this Utah State team will be fine if they make it to the tournament, which they should. And San Diego State, sneaky sixth spot. I think they can definitely make some noise against a three seed in the second round.
Yeah, especially speaking of San Diego State, I think like 90% of their rotation, I think they go 10 deep. Nine of those guys are either seniors or fifth year, sixth year seniors. So they're one of the oldest teams as well. They also have an elite defense, can't stress that enough. And as for Utah State, I don't think not only did they play themselves in, I think they're 10 seed. That's my opinion. I think they're one of the last four byes, which is the last two 10 seeds or one of the top two 11 seeds. And obviously they did that by their non-con was a very surprisingly strong one. Beat Bradley, who we did not expect them to be that good. Beat Santa Clara, beat Oral Roberts, beat LMU, and beat Washington State as well. So they had a very surprisingly strong non-con, in my opinion. And I think that's the reason why the metrics like them so much.
Agreed. They had a very good non-con. I agree. And I think they should be in, but there's still a chance that they don't. So I have to preface that. So we'll see, obviously, later today. Next game up, the America East final. It was a stunner. UMass Lowell was winning at halftime, and Vermont does Vermont things, and they win this game 72-59. Dylan Penn had 21 points, obviously the transfer from Bellarmine. Very impactful player for this Vermont team, and Vermont always poses a threat in March. What do you think of them and what they can do?
Yeah, they're projected 15 seed. That is a very, very low seed projection for them, especially in the recent years. They've been as high as 13 and 14. But they could definitely give a two seed some troubles. They're long, they're efficient, and they just play the right style of basketball. And when you play Vermont, you better watch out regardless of what seed they are. And as for UMass Lowell, hell of a season for them. Can't wait to see them in the CBI, where I do think they can make a deep run.
Yeah, I'd love to see them make a deep run in the CBI. We'll see if they can do it. This Vermont team, obviously not like a normal Vermont team. I feel like Vermont always has a dominant center. This year, they don't really have that. Like I said last episode, I was looking – or two episodes ago, I guess. I was looking at Ryan Davis against Arkansas, and Vermont doesn't really have that big man presence. They have Verretto, who is their big man per se.
Pretty good.
But, yeah. I mean, you probably know him better because of Bryant. But yeah, he hit three threes in the championship game, so he can definitely help. I mean, he's no Ryan Davis, but he'll definitely be the factor, I think, for this Vermont team if they pose a chance in an upset.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. They're a long team, though. They could probably guard 1 through 5 if I
had to be impressed. I agree.
But if they do go against a two seed, let me check the projected two seed. Sorry, a two seed with like an elite center, like I don't know. Yeah, Purdue. I don't know if Purdue's projected two seed. They're projected two seed here.
Probably. I mean, yeah, I think they would be.
Yeah, or maybe Texas. Let's go with like Texas. Who's Texas's starting center?
Probably Dessau, I guess.
Yeah, they're not gonna match up against Dessau very well. But you get the point. But next up, the MEAC final. This was a hell of a game as well. 1-point win for Howard Bison. First tournament appearance in 43 years for Norfolk State. Heartbreak for them. What are your thoughts on this one? Howard, obviously, a projected 16 seed and will probably play in the first four.
Yeah, I think they will as well. And for Norfolk State, unfortunate. I think this is Howard's year. We both said that coming into this game, and it ended up being Howard's year. So shout out to them. I think they're deserving of it. They got a pretty good team. I mean, they got some shooters. Shout out to our boy, Shai Odom. He's going dancing in his first year. But, I think this team will be all right. Jordan Wood only played 10 minutes this game. Did he get hurt? I mean, I didn't watch this game. But
I did not watch it. I watched the end of the game, but he was not on the court for
that. Yeah, he only played 10 minutes. So that's a little concerning. I don't know what happened there. I mean, this team's very good. Elijah Hawkins had an off night, and they still ended up winning. So if he's on in March, they can probably win a first four game, depending on who they match up against. We'll see. But, this Howard team's good. Shout out to them. They were due to make the dance, and they finally get it done.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. Shout out Shai Odom once again. I remember us watching him in the same AAU tournament we played. And man, he's just a man amongst us fourth grade, fifth grade boys, man. That he was going crazy.
Yeah, he was scary. I matched up against him as well in AAU. He was, he's very good. And obviously it shows why he went to Sierra Canyon and why he ended up going Howard and starting. So shout out to him. Next final up is the SWAC. The SWAC, who else, man? Texas Southern, the 8 seed, wins. And this team, I mean, I don't really know what happened in the regular season. They 7-11 in SWAC play. 14-20 on the year. I guess this is a bid thief per se as the 8 seed winning this whole thing. And they get the bid once again for the SWAC 2 years in a row. Obviously, John Walker III is that key presence for Texas Southern. I think this team will probably be a first four team as well, if I had to assume. But what are your thoughts on Texas Southern taking down Grambling in the final?
Oh, yeah, they're the worst team to make it in March Madness since 1990. I think they have the second lowest win total for a team ever to make it in March Madness. And I'm not going to lie, this was my pick to win the SWAC tournament, even as an 8 seed. I had a lot of money on Texas Southern money line today. And like I said, I value a lot of experience. And this is a team essentially running it back for a third straight year with the same squad that that made the tournament the past 2 years. And they were peaking at the right time. They're finally healthy, obviously. They're a lot better than that 13-20 record indicated coming into the game. A lot better than that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they almost blew the game. They're up.
Yeah, I was watching that game. I was kind of sweating a little bit. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, they're up 31-18 and a half. They only won this game by 3. So that's a little concerning. But shout out to them, obviously. Very good, well-coached team. And they can do some noise when they're healthy, and they are. So perfect scenario for them. We'll see what they can do in March.
Mm-hmm. And next up, the MAC championship. Toledo, heartbreak for them once again as Kent State wins pretty convincingly. I did watch this game. This game was just a beautiful game offensively, start to finish. And 93-78 game. I have the over in this one as well. What are your thoughts on this one? Kent State, a projected 13 seed.
Rightfully so. Obviously, the MAC always poses a threat, as we saw last year with Akron. Almost took down UCLA in the first round. This Kent State team will pose a force to whoever they play. Obviously, Malik Jacobs is a phenomenal player. He stepped up today big. This Kent State team, really under the radar, I think. Sincere Carey still had his day. I mean, he did very well, but I think Malik Jacobs stepped up into a big role today. So we'll see what they can do. I think this team has firepower on offense, obviously. It's going to be the defense that's the real key for this team to pull an upset.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna go over each and every one of their 6 losses, starting with the first loss. They lost to Charleston by 2. They lost to Houston by only 5. They lost to Gonzaga by only 7. They lost to Ball State on the road by 12. They lost to Akron on the road by 12. And this one was just a poor loss. They lost to Northern Illinois on the road by 10. But obviously, I don't think, besides the Northern Illinois loss, I think none of these were bad losses whatsoever. And as a projected 13 seed, I'm looking at projected 4 seeds, which would be Xavier, Kansas State, Indiana, and Virginia. I could see them beating any one of those 4 teams on a given day.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, Kansas State's really good, and the MAC is very good. So I would not be surprised at all. It depends on the matchup, obviously, but they can match up well with some of these 5 lines. So I'd be concerned if I was a 5 team and I got Kent State in the draw. I would not be too happy about that, and I'd be a little scared. So Kent State, I'm rooting for you. Obviously, former legend at Kent State, Danny Pippen, represent. I hope Kent State wins. I like this team a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Next conference up is the MAAC, and it was won pretty convincingly by who else but Iona. 76-55 over Marist. Shout out Marist, man. They were the 11th seed, 13-20 record, and they made it all the way to the final. But yeah, this was Iona's year, and Iona's going dancing back-to-back years with Rick Pitino. Obviously, Nelly Jr. Joseph is the key guy to watch out for here. But Jenkins, Denise Jenkins had a phenomenal game, 27 points, 6 for 9 from 3. He filled up the stat sheet. He did a phenomenal job. And this Iona team probably going to be, what, a 14 seed?
Yeah, somewhere along the 13-14 line.
Yeah. So they could pose a threat. What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, they could pose a threat. This one was probably the easiest to predict, in my opinion. And Rick Pitino, his name only gets hotter this off season, and they could pull off an upset they almost did last year, did they?
No,
No,
played Bama
2 years
last
ago.
year.
They almost beat who they almost beat 2 years ago? Alabama. They almost
No,
beat
they didn't.
Alabama. They were a 15 seed and Bama was a 2 seed.
Yeah, I thought Bama smoked them.
I have no
I
clue.
gotta pull it up now.
Did they smoke them? I thought it was pretty good. My chair.
Maybe I'm mixing up my games, but I'll pull it up. Keep talking. What happened? Oh, you're fixing your chair? I don't know what just happened. How do I pull up the bracket? Here we are. Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling it up. I don't know what are you doing? What happened to your chair?
I don't know. I leaned back and all of a sudden I heard my chair snap. And like I don't
Oh.
want to like fall in the middle of the episode, man. Like it's gonna sound and look
Yeah,
embarrassing.
I'm trying to pull up the score.
Yeah, I'll pull it up for you.
Here we go. Oh, this is women's. Wait, what?
Nah, the score was 68-55.
Oh, I got it. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm tripping. I think I was thinking of a different game. I don't know. I was thinking of UAB, I think, against Houston.
68-55.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, you're right. I see it here.
Yeah. And then Bama beat Maryland
Okay.
after
So.
that, because I know that, because I remember Aaron Wiggins
Oh,
had
that's
his
true.
weird night.
Yeah, of
That's the
course you
only
knew
reason why I
that.
remember that little section, because Big Ten Player of the Year Aaron Wiggins had his career night against Bama and they lost.
yeah, lovely. Yeah, but Iona can pose a threat. Obviously, this team's very good when they're healthy and peaking at the right time, per se. So we'll see what they can do. But yeah.
And next up, the Conference USA Championship. This was one of the teams that had a bid thief, was UAB. They lost by 22 to Florida Atlantic. And the seed projection for Florida Atlantic is all over the place. Some people have them at 7, some people have them at 8, and some people have them at 9. But either way, what is your outlook for this program heading into March? They had a terrific season, 31-3, and 18-2 in conference play.
Yeah, phenomenal season. Elijah Martin, phenomenal season for him as well. Yeah, FAU, it's going to be interesting where they ended up going. Personally, for them, I'd honestly rather for them be a 7 line, because I don't think they can hang with a 9 seed. Because, I mean, you got to think of who the 9 seeds might be. Now, it's going to be a lot of high major teams. And I know Florida Atlantic's record's phenomenal, but I don't know how they'll pan out against some of the high major teams. But this team's very good. Don't get me wrong. They have a lot of great guys. Obviously, Jonell Davis and Elijah Martin, and even Vlad Goldin as the big man. I think the team's good. And obviously, Michael Forrest off the bench as well. He actually didn't have a good game in this championship game. But yeah, I mean, FAU's legit. Obviously, 31 wins for a reason. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where they end up being seeded. And so for now, I mean, I don't know where to evaluate them. It really just depends on where they're going to be seeded, to be honest.
And this is a team that beat Bryant by 11. I like to say that. I was one of the lead scouts of that game. I watched a lot of Florida Atlantic basketball, 8 hours to be exact, of Florida Atlantic basketball. And I can tell you right now, this team is legit. Any caller, whoever's playing them, text me, email me. I don't care. I have a whole bunch of papers on this team. I'm not going to lie to you. So if you
Wow,
want to get it done.
I don't think that's legal. I think that's illegal, actually.
No,
Are you able to do that?
yeah, you can. You look at Pat
Okay,
Kelsey's.
we should not get into it. We should not get into
look at look at Pat Kelsey's Twitter. He's asking the coach.
Yeah,
you saw
that
that,
is
right?
true.
I'm not.
I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, but
and I saw something else got leaked, but regardless, whatever.
But we'll say that was a joke. All right, that was a joke. But yeah, Florida Atlantic. The 8-9. If they're in the 8-9 game, I'll feel real bad for them, because think they're a lot better than an 8 seed or a 9 seed, and I do not think, like you said, they would compete with a 8 seed or a 9 seed. I think if they do match up with a 10 seed, I think they'll be all right, but depends who that 10 seed will be.
Agreed. And next one up, the Big West. This one was a great finish. Ended up going back to UC Santa Barbara, winning once again. Yeah, that seems legit, man. Obviously, Jay Mitchell is that guy, and he showed it tonight, the 20 points and the win over Cal State Fullerton. What are your thoughts on this UC Santa Barbara team? I know that they have had some close calls in recent history in March Madness. Obviously, the Creighton game is
Oh,
the first
yeah.
thing that comes to my mind. What are your thoughts on this team, though?
Yeah, projected 14 seed. This is a team that's very good, and I can see them pulling off an upset in the right matchup. They have everything. They have a good group of guards. They have a great group of bigs led by Andre Kelly. They have the Big West Player of the Year and Big West Tournament MVP and AJ Mitchell, who we watched that game, and man, he took over at the very end of the game, and this is a very good team, a very good program, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this team doesn't really go into their bench that much. Only eight guys played, and two guys played under 10 minutes in this game. So, yeah, I mean, the starters are going to be tired. I mean, they're going to be running a lot, but I think this team's capable of pulling off an upset. Like you said, depends on the matchup. But, yeah, I mean, I think this team's either going to upset one game and be done or not win at all. I don't think they can go past the second round. But you never know. Obviously, we've seen crazy things happen, so. Never rule anything out of the world of possibilities in March. So, yeah, we'll see what this team can do. Shout out to them. Obviously going back to back.
And we'll go over to
Wait,
Arizona.
no, not. I'm sorry. Hold on. Not back to back. Because they didn't win last year. Cal State Fullerton won last year, but winning the second time in like 3 years. Sorry.
And we'll cover the UCLA Arizona game when it's done. It'll probably be done while we do this podcast live. But we'll go over to this game, the WAC tournament final at halftime. Grand Canyon leads Southern Utah by 13. The score is 44-31. You called Grand Canyon. I called Southern Utah. Regardless, they're going to be a 15 seed. What are your thoughts on either of the two teams heading into March Madness?
Rayshon Harrison is a dog. 20 points, 7 rebounds at half is nuts. He's almost outscoring Southern Utah himself. So shout out to him. But yeah, I mean, obviously the game yesterday with Southern Utah was phenomenal. I don't think we covered it, but Southern Utah was down by how much? 24? Or is it
23,
more?
yeah.
Yeah, and they ended up surging back, and Tevin Jones hit a big-time clutch shot, and Southern Utah pulled off an upset over Utah Valley. So preface that, if they do end up losing this game, shout out to them. But, yeah, I think Grand Canyon hold on. I mean, it's really too early to tell. It's a tale of two halves. We'll see what Southern Utah can do in the second half. But I think either of these teams have a good shot to upset a team. I know they're a 15 line, but out of those 15 lines, I think that the winner of this game has a very good chance at pulling off an upset. It just depends on who they end up matching up with. But yeah, I mean, Rayshon Harrison coming in from Presbyterian is a big addition for Grand Canyon, and he's been helping out a lot. I watched him play actually when they played Clemson last year, and he was a freshman, and I could just tell that he's a really good player, and he's really shining this year at Grand Canyon. Shout out to him. But yeah, I think Grand Canyon holds on. I think Southern Utah will come back, but I do think that whoever they get matched up with as a two line, they can make some noise.
And Rayshon Harrison, I like to say, who am I, legend? I remember beating you in the tiebreaker with putting him on your forehead or
Oh,
on
don't you
your
worry. This summer, over when we're back for break in the summer, we'll run that back. That was fun.
That was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, that
But
was fun.
I think like you said, they'll compete. Both these teams will compete as a 15 seed. And especially Southern Utah. I think Southern Utah has a better chance to make some more damage than Grand Canyon. That is just my opinion. And the reason for that is if you did not watch that Southern Utah Kansas game way, way, way early back in the season, then yeah, you would know. But that game was crazy. And Southern Utah was up by one with a minute 30 left and ended up losing by six. So that just shows how hard it is to win, especially at Allen Fieldhouse for Southern Utah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I do think Grand Canyon holds on though.
Agreed. And let's go to Sunday before this UCLA Arizona game comes down to the finish. We got five games on Sunday. Nope, six. Wait, nope, five games on Sunday. We'll start at 12 o'clock with the prestigious Ivy League. It is down to the final two. Princeton and Yale both won today or yesterday, I guess. So they'll be playing at 12. A little bit under 12 hours from now. What are your thoughts on this, and who do you think gets the bid?
Yeah, let me check their projected seed line real quick.
Probably 13.
13 or 14.
Or probably 14.
There's a lot of a lot of great mid-major programs out there this year. And Ivy League, you always got to watch out, either regardless of who wins, you always got to watch out of these guys in the Ivy League. They just play basketball, man. They play basketball the right way. That's why they're so successful in March. I think Princeton comes away with this one.
Me too. I'm picking Princeton as well. The Ivies obviously had their fair share of upsets in the past. The most notable one I always remember is Yale over Baylor. I always remember that one because of the Taurean Prince interview afterwards. Do you remember that one?
The rebounds.
That was a funny. Yep, funny interview. But the Ivy obviously has a good chance of pulling off some upsets here and there. This year, I think they got a shot. I mean, we talked about Princeton before. If they ended up winning this thing, they got a very good, they got size, they got pretty much everything. Tosun Ebodunwum or whatever his last name is, I cannot pronounce that, I apologize, but he's a phenomenal player, and I think this team's going to be very good down the stretch of things. So I think Princeton should win this. We'll see what they can do, and see who they matched up with in March.
And we only got 7 minutes left, which is crazy.
I
But
know.
next up, the
I
SEC
know.
tournament, Alabama versus Texas A&M, number one in the conference versus number two. Who you got in that one?
Give me A&M. I think Bama's gonna fall, and I'm gonna go A&M. Peaking at the perfect time. I know you sent me that thing about Buzz Williams rebuilding teams. He's done a phenomenal job. He's one of the best underrated. I think he's really underrated as a coach in terms of legacy and legendary status. Buzz Williams is very underrated, and A&M deserves all the credit this year. They're doing a phenomenal job. Wade Taylor he really blossomed into a phenomenal player this year. I like A&M's team a lot. I think they got a good chance to go far.
And they've played themselves into the five line just 2 weeks ago. They probably weren't in the tournament or one of the last teams
Yeah.
in. And with the win tomorrow, they'll be, I think, a four or four seed. And I agree, A&M.
Yeah, and Bama obviously has firepower. They can go far as well. We'll make our initial thoughts on them when the bracket comes out. I got to see Bama's path before I can make a decision on them. That's all I'll say about that. Next game up, A-10 final. It's Dayton and it's VCU. The kind of the expected matchup. St. Louis got bounced out, unfortunately for you, as VCU take them down. And VCU was the one seed, I think,
Yeah,
right?
one
Yeah.
versus three.
Yeah. So, Dayton beat Fordham, unfortunately. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this? Obviously, Dayton was expected to make the tournament preseason. Dayton, they can finally do it, even after the mishaps this season.
Yeah, Dayton was a top 25 team in the preseason, and the winner of this one's going to be a 12 seed, that's for sure. That's a given.
That's a
And
good.
regardless of what happened, I think Dayton does come out of this one. I also think they're peaking at the right time. I think both these teams are peaking, but something about Dayton, I like them a little bit more. And I think they're gonna give a five seed. I think either of these teams can make a run to the Sweet 16.
I think, I think obviously the A-10's been very overlooked, not overlooked, underlooked this year because it's not as good this year. I think the A-10's sneaky going to have a Sweet 16 team. I think one of these two teams will go to the Sweet 16 as a 12 seed. I just kind of see it happening. You know what I mean? But yeah, Dayton has great players. I think Dayton's going to win this one as well. Deron Holmes is a very good big man, very capable of guarding some of the best bigs in the NCAA. And they got good guard play as well. And this team's fully healthy. So I got Dayton, and I got a good coach as well, Anthony Grant. So I'm gonna go Dayton, and I think Dayton can go to the Sweet 16. Got to see their path, but I like Dayton.
And next up, the American Athletic Conference Championship, Houston versus Memphis. Two locks for the tournament at this point. Who you got in this one? I think it's an easy one.
This is not easy at all.
You
Are
got
you kidding
4 minutes,
me?
man. Talk.
I know. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, Memphis just beat Tulane by 40 yesterday. Or I guess yesterday. I'm picking Memphis.
Really?
Memphis has came close. Remember, all right, I'll preface this. Last time they played, Memphis did not have Kendrick Davis, and Houston won on a buzzer beater.
You're
I
right.
think Memphis is due. I'm gonna go Memphis.
I think it's an easy one. I'm gonna go Houston. Houston, a one seed. I think they're gonna have an easy pass to this week 16. As for Memphis, probably a projected 8-9 seed. What are your thoughts on Memphis heading into the tournament, or both these teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Memphis guy, but I do think Memphis is pretty good. I think they're pretty good. And last year, you remember, they beat Boise State. They kept it very close with Gonzaga. They almost beat Gonzaga. Oh, wait. Yeah. Memphis, almost,
I honestly wanted
right?
them to
Memphis?
beat Gonzaga. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm making sure I didn't mix up the teams. But yeah, Memphis almost beat Gonzaga. So it's pretty much the same team. And they had Kendrick Davis. So, I mean, it's not the same team, but they had Kendrick Davis is the big thing you need to know. So I think Memphis can sneaky maybe keep it close with the one seed if they are an eight line. But yeah, I like this team a lot.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I know it's supposed to be your turn, but Penn State and Purdue. Penn State has played its way into the tournament. They'll be a 10 seed. And as for Purdue, if they win, I think they'll be a one seed and leapfrog the last four seed, which I can't go on my phone right now because we have little time. But who's your winner here and your outlooks for these two teams heading into the tournament?
Yeah, I like both these teams a lot. I'm going to be going with Purdue. I think Purdue has obviously Zach Edey, so they are going to be phenomenal. But yeah, I mean, I do think Penn State really put themselves into a good spot. Obviously, Jalen Pickett is that guy. He's a phenomenal scorer. I think Penn State, I think they'll get in. I don't think they'll go too far. I just don't think they have enough firepower besides Pickett alongside him. So I think they'll get bounced a little bit early. But yeah, Purdue is obviously a team to watch out for. They're looking really good, as we all know. So I like both these teams, but I'm going to go Purdue.
Mm-hmm. And Purdue has the emergence of David Jenkins all of a sudden. He's been balling out as of late.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. Purdue, I think, is a Final Four caliber team, obviously. We've been saying that. And as for Penn State, I think they'll make at most, they'll be at the round of 32. If they face a seventh seed like FAU, for example, that'll be a very good game to watch.
And agreed.
6 seconds left in the
– What? Yeah, I know. I'm putting it on my computer. I'm
all right, so how about we spin to see who reveals their bracket first?
You want
to
spin now?
Yeah, no, I guess not.
Let's spin before the first.
You want to spin now?
Let's do before
right, the we'll bracket. We'll do it before.
We'll do it after Selection Sunday. We'll record it. How about we record it after Selection Sunday and then we post it?
All right. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. And Eric, oh, this is the game. I'm watching the end of the game.
Yeah, you give your live commentary on the game.
Missed it. UCLA missed the game-winning three. Arizona wins the Pac-12. That was a phenomenal finish. Yeah, Tubelis missed a free throw. They come down the floor. I don't even know who number two is on UCLA. I haven't watched a single
David
UCLA
Singleton. Game. Singleton, come on now.
That's Singleton? Yeah, so he missed the game-winning three. UCLA wins 61-59, and they are going dancing. They are probably moving up. As what, a two seed?
Yeah, they've been a two seed. I think both these teams are two seeds. But yeah.
So, what are your thoughts on these two teams?
I think they're both Sweet 16 caliber teams. Arizona, I think, has a higher floor. Your thoughts before it cuts off?
I agree. That's all I'll say. But yeah, we'll see you guys. Obviously, after Selection Sunday, cannot wait. March is finally here, baby. And fortunately, we're running short. But that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. See you guys in about 18 hours.